Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. When you were a child, did something happen? Did you have any trauma kind of occur in your life? Do you remember it today as an adult? Today, we have got a really cool guest. We have Katie Motzinger. She is our Community Resource Director with the Children's Attention Home right here in the Carolinas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Talk about the ACEs study. I think it's quite unique.
So the ACEs study, it stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, and it was a study done on about 17,000 adults to look at what was the impact of childhood trauma and the health risks that came from that. So what they found in the study was, you know, adverse childhood experience could be divorce, it could be death, sudden death of a close family member, it could be abuse that was happening in the home, so sexual, physical, mental, emotional abuse, it could be the divorce of a parent, it could be numerous things. But basically, how does that then change the trajectory or change the outcomes potentially for your life as it relates to health risks? And so what they found was if you have four or more that occur before the age of 12, I think it was the age of 12, that drastically impacts, exponentially impacts things like incarceration or early pregnancy or heart disease or early death, just things that addiction, substance abuse behaviors, just anything that you can think of that would be a negative health risk. Having four or more of these adverse childhood experiences happen to you drastically impacts, you know, whether or not you are going to experience those health risks. And where we are at the Children's Attention Home, we work with children who are in foster care and we work with homeless youth. Both of these populations, you're talking about children who are coming from traumatic backgrounds, whether that's neglect, whether it's abuse, whether it's any of the things that I mentioned before. What we do when they come to us, you know, they've been removed from the circumstances by the state in the case of foster children, or in the case of homeless youth, they've been referred to us either by themselves or through a community member, but they come to us needing somebody to help them look forward instead of focus on what happened behind them. And so what we do at the Children's Attention Home is when a child comes in, we provide a safe and nurturing home for them. We provide stability. One of the number one difference that you see in the ACEs study that makes a difference in these health risks becoming reality was one stable, caring adult in their life. And so that was what they found to be the most impactful change. It's not the only thing, but it was the most impactful piece that they found in this study, that if a child experienced all these things but had one person that they could depend on and go to, that they trusted, that cared about them, that showed them the love, the respect, the care they deserved, then it changed dramatically whether or not they were going to experience any of the risks I talked about before.
Four incidents happen mm-hmm. before you were 12 years old, even 10 years old.
Yeah.
That is likely to happen. Divorce. Parents are good divorced, mm-hmm. right? You'll be uprooted or moved when you think you don't want to move, but the parents need to move because mm-hmm. the kid doesn't understand that we need to move here because we need money and yeah. we've got to go. Someone dies. Someone passes away in your family. Think about all the things that have happened to you.
And then you're exactly right. What happened to you? And, you know, there's two pieces to that. One is what happened to you as far as you're a victim of that circumstance. So these are not things that happened because of anything that you did. These kids are victims of what has been thrown at them by life. And so, you know, there's different stereotypes about kids in foster care or a youth maybe who is homeless or maybe seems like they're not the quote unquote normal kid. But what we look at when they come to us is you do ask that question. It's not what you did. It's not why do you dress like that? Why do you talk like that? It's what happened to you. And that's a question that through the ACEs study they talk about for educators, for anybody who works with kids specifically. But even if you think about it, as adults, it's going to carry forward. But as we receive the kids, it's what happened to you. And in a way that we can then move forward to say, okay, if this is the background, this is the story, as much as they're willing to share, you know, how then can we combat some of the things that you've experienced? How can we work with you to help you see what's possible for your future? Because a lot of the kids coming to us, they have not had that stable, caring adult. Listening to one of our kids' stories the other day, we were, you know, just talking for different pieces to share with those that support us. And what he shared was, you know, until I came to the children's attention home, I couldn't think about tomorrow. I didn't have time to think about goals. I wasn't motivated to do anything because all I could focus on was taking care of my sister because my mom didn't show up. She wasn't doing what she was supposed to do. And so I had to take care of everything. And I envied my peers because they didn't have to do that. You know, so taking a story like that, taking a child that's been, and in his case, a child, a youth, a young adult, that's been your whole life. That's been 16, 17, 18 years. And then saying, okay, now's your time. Let's focus on you. Let's figure out what you want to do. What are your dreams? What are your goals? When you've never had a chance to think about them before. That was not my experience growing up. I consider myself incredibly blessed by the family that I have. And what I'm finding more and more is how abnormal that really is to see the trauma that our kids have walked through and to know, too, how many kids that truly affects. That you don't have to be in foster care. You don't have to be homeless for you to have been walking through some of these things. On the outside, it can look like a very normal, quote unquote, family, but you've got kids that are walking through very difficult situations. And so, you know, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's at a youth sports event, whatever the case may be, you know, children don't act out for no reason. Most of the time, there's a driving factor behind what seems like irrational behavior. And so thinking about, you know, the next time that you encounter a child, or maybe it's a friend, you know, if you've got kids listening to this, you know, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's, well, why is so-and-so acting that way? What happened at home? What happened that I didn't see that might, maybe that's the baggage they're carrying with them that I can't see. We see people, we ask, why are you mad? Why are you frustrated? Why are you angry? And then respond in kind instead of stopping to think, well, what don't I know?
Yeah.
You know?
What don't we know?
What don't we know?
I like it because you're here. You're telling us what we need to know. It's Katie Motzinger. Don't you love her last name? She's our community resource director for the Children's Attention Home right here in the Carolinas, has been providing services to abused and neglected youth in a safe, nurturing home since 1970. That's a long time. Yeah.
Knocking on 50 years.
Yes. A license to serve foster children in South Carolina. Do you think we have more in South Carolina than North Carolina?
I don't know the exact numbers. Usually it's population based. So if you look at, there's more people in North Carolina. There's probably more kids in foster care. Mm-hmm. I know in South Carolina, there's about, I think it's around about 4,000 kids that are in the foster care system. So who have been either removed from their homes or in right. the process.
Kudos to the foster care system, but why is it still the way it is, right? I always wonder, why is it still the way it is? Because we keep doing shows like this, and it's like, why can't we figure out how to restructure it?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about, you know, why can't the foster care system get it together, you know? And I think the flip side of that is you're talking about a system that's meant to deal with, or that's been charged with dealing with, a lot of broken situations. And there's no one perfect answer to that. Just like every child needs something different. Every family needs something different. And there's no prescription that's a silver bullet to fixing families or to helping families or to provide kids with what they need. Every single one of them is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I'm very faith oriented. On this side of heaven, it's one of those things that I don't see a clear answer. It's, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to serve the kids who are in front of us, and we're going to continue to seek the best methods and the best practices that we can find, that we can delineate from all the research, and just keep doing our best. You know, and I think that there's a lot of negative media about foster care, about the people who are working in foster care, whether that's with the state, whether that's with group homes, whether that's with foster families. You see a lot of the, if it bleeds, it reads, stories, but what you don't see are a lot of the really good stories. You don't see where the child who would never have had the opportunity to graduate high school graduates and goes to college. You don't see where they got a job, or whether maybe it's something as simple as, you know, I made friends for the first time. I got to go to a school where I wasn't bullied. I have 3 square meals a day. You know, it's so many small successes that don't make the news that we don't recognize how important those little things are, but it's all those little successes that make up the big ones. And mm-hmm. that's a lot of what we focus on at the home, is where are we investing in the little daily things to make sure that our kids are able to reach the big goals that they have, or to reach whatever the milestones are. But you don't reach the milestones without all the little steps in between.
Yeah. The Children's Attention Home is a regional finalist. Can
yes.
we get a drum roll, please?
Yeah, that's right. So we are very excited to be one of the regional finalists for the Chick-fil-A True Inspiration Award. Chance to win $100,000 to help us do so many things that are down the pipeline for us as far as looking at our programming, looking at how we can continue to serve more kids better. You know, that's a great way to just go and click, just vote. And who doesn't love Chick-fil-A? And I'm sorry if you don't. I disagree with you, but you know, we can still be friends, but
everybody has their way.
Everybody has their way, and that's fine. Some people go for Zaxby's or whatever it is, or Bojangles. Bojangles is great too. But for this case, if we can vote on Chick-fil-A, that would be wonderful.
And so we just go to the Chick-fil-A app.
Just go to the Chick-fil-A app. It's right there. I know it's on my phone. Okay. I get the points every time I go, which is at least weekly. So, yeah.
And vote.
Go to the rewards section. So you go into the app, go to rewards, news, and then it'll pull it up.
Got it. And it's called the Children's Attention Home. I like the name, Attention. You're giving me attention. And we can come out Saturday, October 19th, for the 5th annual Deep in the Heart.
Yes.
To learn more about the home. Right?
Yeah. So that's a fundraiser and a friendraiser. So this event, we really focus on inviting the community in for a fun night. It's a lot of fun. We'll have live music from the McEwen Band, who's out of Nashville, who's coming to perform. We have auction and raffle items that are a lot of fun. So it's to raise money for the home. 100% of whatever we raise that night comes back to support our mission. And at the same time, it's just a great way to come and learn more about what we do. We'll have information. We'll have ways that you can sign up to get involved. Or if coming for a tour next is your step, whatever the case may be, we'll have things coming up for the holidays. So this is a great opportunity to come have some fun Saturday night out. Not too expensive. $25 a ticket at most.
For that concert? Wow.
Yeah, for the whole thing. Can't beat it. You know, you get dinner with it. Dinner and drinks come with it. So come have a good time and learn a little bit more about how you can make a difference in the lives of the kids we've been talking about today.
Is your agency one that we can adopt from?
No. So all of the adoptions for the children that are in our care, for those that are eligible, would be through the state. So that would be through DSS or Department of Social Services in South Carolina.
Got it.
Yeah.
And if people are just tuning in, that's Katie Motzinger. She's our Community Resource Director with the Children's Attention Home. And before, when we started the show, we talked about the adverse childhood experience. Please explain that again, because that's pretty powerful, before you leave out.
Sure. So the study for adverse childhood experiences focuses on what happened in someone's life that would cause negative health outcomes. And so for this particular population, or for anybody who's experiencing health risk, what the study looked at is how does a traumatic event in a child's life impact their health risks long term? And so as we look at the children in foster care or homeless youth, the children that we serve, you know, any child who's had four or more ACEs, as they're called, that they've experienced in their life, you know, they are immediately exponentially more likely to have higher health risks as it relates to heart disease, as it relates to mental illnesses, as it relates to substance abuse or in early incarceration or pregnancy, death. You name the risk and it's on the list. So what we look at in foster care and in homeless youth is, you know, how can we ask the question, what happened to you, in order to address how we can help you move forward in a healthy and productive way? Mm-hmm. You know, so we're not repeating the cycle. That's what we talk about a lot, is we want to break the cycle of abuse and neglect in these kids' lives. And, you know, and as the study mentioned, it just takes one stable, caring adult to make the biggest difference in that. It's not the silver bullet, but it is one of the biggest factors in impacting those health outcomes for them.
Where online can we follow? Can we go? Can we support, besides going to the Chick-fil-A app, which you love some Chick-fil-A?
Yes. So our website is attentionhome.org. There you can donate online. You can find out more about all of the information that I've talked about today. You can learn more about the home, how to get involved. We have volunteer opportunities. We have ways to give. We've got a lot of our budget is about $2.5 million a year in order to do what we do, because it takes a lot of people to do what we do. And it takes a lot to give these kids absolutely everything that we can to resource them to move forward in, like I said, a healthy and productive way. So, and let me mention one other thing, that we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So if you want to just follow what's happening day to day, we do post out there a lot, just, you know, ways to get involved or what we've got going on. So feel free to check there too.
Okay. Attentionhome.org. I know you can find the social media right there.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.